Hello and welcome to this session of What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in beautiful Jasper, Georgia. We hold our services at 1191 East Church Street every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. and every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12:30. What we do is we take a book of the Bible and we go chapter by chapter and verse by verse to see what does the Bible say. So if you join me in Bible study this morning, if you just please open up your Bibles and let's look at it and see what does the Bible say. The book of Revelation to chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11 verses 1 through 14 are part of the parenthesis in time that we mentioned last week, started in chapter 10. So Revelation chapter 10 and 11 through verse 14 are not chronological. They're a section that you have to pick up and examine independently because they talk about things across the entire seven-year period, but they're things God wants you to know before we go on with the chronology. So we are between the sixth trumpet and the seventh trumpet. The seventh trumpet has not yet sounded. When it sounds, the great tribulation period is on. And God wants you to know about some things that are happening behind the scenes that are important to understanding the second half of the tribulation period, okay? So chapter 10, verse 1 says, Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod. What does he mean, a reed like a measuring rod? It's a stick about yay so long that he's going to use in a vision as if he was going to measure something. He's not actually there. He's seeing in a vision, so he can't physically lay out rulers on it, but it will be as if he did. A reed like a measuring rod. And the angel stood saying, what's that word saying mean? What follows is a quote, tells you the underlying language is Hebrew. Rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. First thing you've got to ask is this talking about the temple in heaven? The answer is no. This is a temple that exists on earth in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount. Where did that temple come from? It was built during the seven-year tribulation period. If you look at Jerusalem today, look at a picture of the Temple Mount. There is no temple sitting there, but there will be. Put a finger here and go back to Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, and we'll see how it fits into current events. Daniel chapter 9, which is the vision of the 490 years divided into 77-year periods. And verse 27 follows a 2,000-year parenthesis in time. The first 483 years were finished before Messiah was crucified. But that last seven-year period has been waiting for its time to be fulfilled. Verse 27 says, then he being the prince who is to come from verse 26, which is the false Messiah or the Antichrist, shall confirm, not make a covenant with, but confirm a covenant. To confirm it means to put the military might behind enforcing it. The one who gives both sides confidence enough to enter it, because if either side violates it, this power is going to enforce it. Shall confirm a covenant with many, that is with many peoples, for 1 7-year period. In my Bible it says 1 week, but it's a week of years. A week of years has 6 regular years followed by a Sabbath year. So it can't begin at just any time. It has to follow another 7-year period or the year of Jubilee. It's the only 2 times it could start. But in the middle of the week, which doesn't say after 3.5 years. In the middle of week means about the middle. It's not an exact mathematical term. I think this is actually going to happen 30 days before the midpoint. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate. That's translated not in the best way. What it means is on a wing of the temple, they are going to establish the image that is called the abomination of desolation. that Messiah refers to in Matthew 24. Let's go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, that's the one in Daniel 9:27, standing in the holy place. What is the holy place? Who knows? It's not the Holy of Holies, right. The temple is divided into two halves. It's divided in half by a veil. The area before the veil is the holy place. Behind the veil where the Ark of the Covenant sits is the Holy of Holies, the Kodesh HaKodeshim in Hebrew. Whoever reads, let him understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. So that is the sign that the false Messiah is about to come into his reign of terror. It's been bad up to this point, but at the midpoint of the tribulation period is when the false Messiah gets indwelt by Satan, and the phrase hell on earth literally becomes applicable. God bless you. Now go back to Daniel for a moment, but to chapter 11. Daniel chapter 11. In fact, you might want to leave a pencil in Daniel, because you can't understand Revelation without understanding Daniel. Daniel chapter 11. Verses 29 to 32. Daniel chapter 11, verses 29 to 32. This is about the abomination of desolation. At the appointed time, he shall return and go toward the south, but it shall not be like the former or the latter. For ships from Cyprus shall come against him, therefore he shall be grieved and return in rage against the Holy Covenant. Talking about the Torah. And do damage. So he shall return and show regard for those who forsake the Holy Covenant. And forces shall be mustered by him, and they shall defile the sanctuary fortress. Then they shall take away the daily sacrifices and place there the abomination of desolation. Those who do wickedly against the covenant shall corrupt with flattery, but the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. See, it's been wrongly taught that for the 7 years of the tribulation, everybody bows down to the false Messiah and accepts him as their ruler. That's not true. There's a lot of opposition to the false Messiah in the tribulation period. And this shows there's even military forces moving against him that sometimes he can't overcome and he's got to do a retreat. But when he does, he retreats into the land of Israel and takes it from the Jewish people, stops the sacrifices in the temple because they're sacrifices to God, sets up his own image as the abomination of desolation, and will flatter and benefit people who will worship him, but turn his full wrath against those who continue to worship God.
And where it says there in Daniel, at the appointed time, that's a moedim, that's an appointed...
It's an appointed time, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Probably Passover time?
We'll talk about that in a minute.
I didn't mean to go ahead.
That's where we're going next.
Daniel
12.
He keeps poking.
Does he? Daniel chapter 12, verses 7 to 11. Let me turn back in this other Bible while you're turning there. Daniel chapter 12, starting in verse 7. I got a big chart there, so let me find it quickly. Daniel, there we go, 12. Starting in verse 7, it says, "Then I heard the man clothed in linen," this is an angel delivering a message to Daniel, "who was above the waters of the river." Isn't that interesting? He walks on water. "When he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swore by him who lives forever that it shall be for a time, times, and half a time." How long is that? 3.5 years. So that tells us we're right at the middle of the tribulation period. "And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. Although I heard, I did not understand, then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? He said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end." Many shall be purified, made white, and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. How did the book of Psalms, chapter 119, define the wicked, as we studied last night? Those who were opposed to Torah, those who would not hear and follow the Lord's commandments. It says, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away, this is what's going to tell us when it happens. And the abomination of desolation is set up, there should be 1,290 days. How long is 3.5 years? 1,260 days. This is what tells me the abomination is set up 30 days before the midpoint. 30 days before the midpoint. And when that happens, the children of Israel in Jerusalem that have become believers and believe what Messiah said in Matthew 24 are going to do what? They're going to flee. They're going to flee to Petra, which is in the very south part of modern-day Jordan. How are they going to get there? They're going to have to walk. How long will it take you to walk? A long time. That's why they get 30 days' notice to get on the road and get going before the false Messiah is indwelt by Satan, and it's too late then to try and flee. It goes on to say in chapter 12 of Daniel, verse 12, blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. That count begins at the midpoint and goes 1,335 days, which is longer than the last 3.5 years. Longer by how much?
45.
Longer by 75 days. And what that brings you to, if you add 75 days to the end of the tribulation period, is to Hanukkah. Kislev 25, which is the date that the temple was dedicated. And that will be the dedication of the temple in the Messianic kingdom, as I see it. Okay, back to Revelation, chapter 11. Then, verse 1, then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. Which means the temple must have been rebuilt, because the false Messiah can't stop the sacrifice and offering if what? If it hasn't started. He can't set an abomination of desolation in a wing of the temple if there isn't one. Which means from the start of the tribulation period to right about the midpoint, they must build the temple. Sacrifices must begin. Have you seen anything in the news that makes you think that Israel's thinking about building a temple? Have you seen a demonstration sacrifice on an altar right there at the site of the Temple Mount? The priests have been trained. Every implement has been made. Everything is ready to go. They have the red heifer, as much as they might want you to wonder whether they do or don't. They do. Everything's ready to go. Then why haven't they started to build it yet? Because it isn't time yet. They were looking for one more sign. And that was the sign, go back to the book of Lamentations, which is right after Jeremiah, because Jeremiah wrote it.
Twice in 1 week to do Lamentations.
Yeah, I know. I said I wasn't gonna, but I'm gonna. Lamentations chapter 5 is in the Talmud, written by the ancient scholars, as giving the indication that it's time to rebuild the temple. Lamentations 5, just a few verses. And Lamentations is read at the day of Tisha B'Av, which is the 9th of Av, which is tomorrow. So this will be the scripture reading tomorrow.
Oh, Wayne, before you get too involved with that.
Before I get too involved with that.
I know, you know, Tisha B'Av started with the spies.
Yeah.
Is there any kind of thing that says that, like on Tisha B'Av, a good thing will happen to Israel and that will be something indicating the end? Or
it's the way they interpret Lamentations 5 here.
It is how they interpret it.
Uh-huh. So in Lamentations 5, let's just look at verse 15. The joy of our heart has ceased. Our dance has turned into mourning. This is about the diaspora, the dispersion among the nations. The crown has fallen from our head that Israel is no longer a nation. Woe to us, for we have sinned, a recognition that the dispersion amongst the nations was caused by our sin. We did it. It's our fault. And that leads to repentance. It says, because of this, our heart is faint. Because of these things, our eyes grow dim. That is, we're crying over our sins, mourning over our sins that caused the destruction in the first place. Verse 18 says, because of Mount Zion, which is desolate with foxes walking about on it. So the ancients had said, when you see the foxes walking on the Temple Mount, you know that the time of mourning is ending and that it's time for the temple to be rebuilt and the time of rejoicing to begin. Verse 19 says, you, O Lord, remain forever, your throne from generation to generation. Why do you forget us forever and forsake us for so long a time? Turn us back to you, O Lord, and we will be restored. See, they look at these verses about the restoration and say, the foxes walking on the Temple Mount tell us it's time for the restoration. Okay, let's also go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter. That's why there's so much excitement right now in Israel, and people that before were saying it's not time for the temple that are now saying it's time to rebuild the temple. They need a seven-year covenant of peace and safety or security. And I suggest it's in the works.
Is the Temple Institute, does it have to be like a sanctioning body? Is it, the Temple Institute isn't really like an official kind of sanctioning body, is it?
No, the Temple Institute has been working on having everything prepared when it was time.
Who would be the... Yeah, would it be the state of Israel?
It's going to be the government, the state of Israel. It's going to say, okay, do it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, just the short version. 2 Thessalonians comes, well, don't say right after 1 Thessalonians. That's not, okay. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 to 4. Let no one deceive you by any means, which means they will try. For that day, the day of the Lord, will not come unless the falling away comes first. That falling away, apostasia, has two possible meanings. One, the rapture, the snatching away, and the other, the falling away of those who claim to be believers, both of which are about to happen. Unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, that's the false Messiah, the Antichrist, who will stop the sacrifice and offerings and put up his own statue, is revealed the son of perdition, which means the son of Satan, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That happens when he sets up the abomination of desolation right before the midpoint. Okay. Let us go back now to Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11 to verse 2. What confuses people is verse 2 and verse 3 describe different halves of the tribulation period. Verse 2 says, but leave out the court which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. That is, for the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Remember the scripture that says, and they shall trample down Jerusalem until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled? Times of the Gentiles don't end until the end of the tribulation period when Messiah comes and destroys the power of the Gentile nations that have ruled over the land of Israel for many thousands of years now. So, what is south of the Temple Mount? I'm sorry, I should put it a different way. What on the Temple Mount is south of where the temple will be rebuilt is the Dome of the Rock. Too many people think the Dome of the Rock sits where the first and second temple sat, and it does not. When King Herod expanded the Temple Mount, He literally expanded the Temple Mount to the south. So he expanded the platform, and that's why he had to put up the retaining wall, because he had dirt put in there to make the top of the mountain bigger, wider. And if you look at the ancient writings, what they tell you is that when you stand on the Mount of Olives and look through the Eastern Gate, you would look directly into the Holy of Holies. How many of you have been on the Mount of Olives? Many of you have. Did you look across the Eastern Gate? Yes, you did. Was the Dome of the Rock directly behind the Eastern Gate? The answer is no, it was not. It sits to the south of it. What does sit directly across the Eastern Gate is called the Dome of the Spirits, which is a little cupola that doesn't mean anything to anybody. If you knock that thing down, they say, oh, well, no big deal. On the Temple Mount, there are two pieces of exposed bedrock. And we know that the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies sat on a piece of exposed bedrock. One of those pieces of exposed bedrock is under the Dome of the Rock. Where do you suppose the other one is? Under the Dome of the Spirits. They also tell us that there was a shaped stone where the high priest would stand on Yom Kippur when putting the blood on the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. And if you look at the Dome of the Tablets on the ground, there is a shaped stone close enough that you would sprinkle the blood on that piece of exposed bedrock. That's where the next temple is going to go. And the Dome of the Rock is going to still stand. This is how permission will come from everybody in agreement that you can build the temple because you're not going to damage our mosque. The Dome of the Rock. Yes?
Excuse me. Can you please explain the last sentence?
And they will tread the holy city. Gentiles will trample down the holy city, meaning Jerusalem and the Temple Mount, until the end of the 7-year tribulation period. The Dome of the Rock is going to remain. The Muslims are going to continue to worship in the Dome of the Rock in the Mosque of Omar.
Still don't get it. When it says trample underfoot, they're going to tread the city underfoot for 42 years.
What? Yeah, it means they're going to walk and claim it as their own.
Okay.
Yeah, what does it mean to walk the land, to claim the land? So they're going to continue to say it's ours, even though the temple is going to be there. My point in verse 2 is that's describing what's going to happen in the last 3.5 years as part of this parenthesis where we can look both ways. Verse 3 looks back across the first 3.5 years. So it's like John standing on the Temple Mount, looking to the right, then looking to the left, looking to the future, then looking to the past. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. That is exactly 3.5 years. That's why a lot of people look at this and go, oh, they prophesy in the second half of the tribulation, but they do not. Their testimony and prophecy is in the first 3.5 years. And they're going to do great miracles like calling down fire from heaven and withholding rain and doing the kind of miracles that Moses and Elijah did when they were here on this world. And they're going to be proclaiming the word of God. Let's go back to Matthew 16 for a moment.
And for the second half, they'll be in Petra or they'll be out to the rest of the world?
They're going
to
be in heaven. But we'll read that in a minute. Matthew 16. Verse 28. This is going to tell us who the two witnesses are. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. It did not say until the kingdom comes. It says until they see it. They're going to see it in a vision. Now, after 6 days, what follows 6 days? Somebody say the seventh day, which teaches the day of the Lord. Yeshua took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Who are the two witnesses with Messiah? Moses and Elijah. They represent the law and the prophets. What prophesies and teaches of Messiah? The law and the prophets. Now, will this be the literal old Moses and old Elijah? Or will it be like John the Baptist and be two persons in the role, in the spirit of Elijah and Moses? Well, we really don't know. How is Messiah referred to occasionally in the book of Ezekiel? As David, because David is his ancestor. Could this be a literal physical descendant of Moses and a physical descendant of Elijah? Could be. But there are two witnesses that have the power that Moses had when he brought the 10 plagues and that Elijah had when he withheld rain and caused rain to come and called down fire from heaven. That's what we know about them. Let's go on to verse 4, Revelation 11, 4. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. What olive trees and what lampstands are they talking about? That's a reference back to Zechariah. That's exactly right. So let's go to Zechariah chapter 4.
The wild olive tree cultivated?
Nope. Oh. It's not. Zechariah chapter 4, there is an interesting prophecy. Does the book of Zechariah talk about the temple being rebuilt in the last days? It does. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 3. Well, let's back up to verse 1 for context. Now the angel who talked with me came back and wakened me as a man who was awakened out of his sleep. He said to me, "What do you see?" So I said, "I am looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it, and on the stand seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps." That's a reference to Revelation chapter 4, verse 5. Two olive trees are by it. What does the lampstand, the menorah, burn? Olive oil. And here are two olive trees. What do olive trees produce but olive who produce olive oil? One at the right of the bowl and the other at its left. The olive oil pictures what? The Holy Spirit. So these two witnesses, their purpose is to feed the menorah with olive oil, that is to bring the Holy Spirit into the land to witness to the people. In the same chapter, Zechariah 4, let's look at verse 14. Wait a minute. There isn't a verse 14, so what did I mean? Oh, good. Good. It's on the next page. There we go. So they ask him, "Who are these?" In verse 14, so he said, "These are the two anointed ones who stand beside the Lord of the whole earth." So this was a prophecy of what we're seeing in the book of Revelation chapter 11. Prophesied all those years ago. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Well, that's about all the time we have for today, folks. If you've enjoyed this Bible study and you want more information on what we teach, please go to our website at www.john1415.org, where you'll find all of our Bible studies for the past 3 or 4 years in MP3 format, organized by book. And we've covered just about every book in the Bible, so you can listen online or you can right-click on the link and download the file to your iPhone, iPad, or however you like to listen to your teachings. May God bless you. We'll see you next week.